A week from tomorrow, we'll be celebrating the great anniversary of our nation's birth, which began July 4th, 1776, when the leaders of the 13 American colonies declared their independence from their English motherland. Nearly a century later, or as Abraham Lincoln himself said it, 87 years, 87 years later, Lincoln, following the Union's victory over the Confederacy at Gettysburg, said in the address at the dedication of the National Cemetery there that in those days our forefathers had brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty. And he prayed that the civil war in which the nation was now engaged would, under God, bring forth a new birth of freedom. But what exactly do we have freedom from or freedom for in our country? Well, as we all know, we should have freedom from domestic tyranny. We should have freedom from excessive government control over the self-determination of our lives. We have the freedom to enjoy the work of our own hands and to pursue our own desire for work. We have the freedom to worship according to our consciences. And of course, the other rights and liberties that are spelled out in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, which we should all remember from our civics courses back in high school. It should be noted that the framers of our Constitution and our founding fathers presumed the common sense, the work ethic, and the goodwill of the American citizenry. It was at that time understood, even if not never ever explicitly stated, that the nation's morals and values, which would be the foundation to support such a new idea of nationhood and freedom, would be formed by Judeo-Christian principles, as principles of the Bible, of the Old and New Testaments, and of course the Christian faith of the majority of the American people, such as St. Paul discusses in his letter to the Galatians that we read this morning. St. Paul reminds us that freedom is not some vague, free-floating idea, but freedom is the ability to choose to do what is right and what is good without difficulty or restraint. So freedom is the ability to choose and to do what is right and what is good without difficulty or restraint. As he says, "For freedom Christ made us free." What did Christ do? He removed sin. He removed the effect of sin. He removes sin and replaces it with sanctifying grace that you and I may stand firm in righteousness and in truth. We are not to be dominated by sin, whether our own personal sin or the sins of other people. We are to live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, and that is in the freedom of grace. Freedom, my brothers and sisters, is always found in the love of God. And love of God is proven by our obedience to his commands, as Jesus himself taught us, which is followed by love of neighbor. We can't say that we love God and despise our neighbor. We can't say that we love our neighbor and despise God, who is the source of all love. And of course, freedom is never found in gratifying any kind of selfish wants, desires, or lusts. Freedom, by its very nature, is never self-serving. But true freedom is always found in service to God, and of course, service to neighbor as acts of love. We've all experienced this. In love, we find harmony and communion. In self-sacrifice, we find a great sense of peace. But in selfishness, we find no peace. Instead, we find only chaos and discord. And remember that Christ Jesus prayed that we would all be of one heart and one mind in him. This happens when you and I live by the Spirit that he gives us, the Holy Spirit who purifies our hearts, who enlightens our minds, and who directs us to choose and energizes us to do all that is holy and good. The Spirit draws us into union with God and one another in Christ. So freedom does not mean that we have the ability to do whatever we want, but it's to do what God wants. The freedom to follow his will, which leads us to joy, which leads us to peace, which leads us to true satisfaction and contentment. The Christian understanding of freedom and the original notion of American freedom go hand in hand. It's for the good of the individual and for the good of the nation. When we decide to turn from sin and to pursue righteousness and peace, good things begin to happen. in choosing good over evil, virtue over vice, grace over sin, and morality over immorality, there you have, as the responsorial psalm, Psalm 16 says, the path of life. And that's what this is all about. Life and love. God is the source of life, and God himself is love. Out of love, he gave us life and teaches us to love him and to love one another and find true joy and find freedom in grace. Yesterday, or Friday actually, with no coincidence, on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, in a highly anticipated decision, the Supreme Court of our nation overturned the infamous Roe v. Wade decision of 1973 that made access to procured abortion protected by federal law. Friday's decision by the court did not, sadly, make the practice of abortion illegal nationwide, but instead has given to the citizens of each individual state the power to enact its own laws governing the access to or prohibition of abortion. So that's a good thing. It's good that each state can decide for itself on the legality of abortion access, but honestly, it's not enough. Thank God a thousand times that we in the state of Louisiana have the ability and the good sense to finally eliminate such an evil and inhuman practice from our state's midst. But it will not be so nationwide. Truth has won a battle. Truth has won a battle, but has not yet won the war. Abortion, as we all know, the intentional killing of an unborn child at any stage of development, from fertilization to birth, is murder, pure and simple. There is absolutely no argument which in any way can justify it. Oh, I know that leftist liberals love to use the slogan, follow the science, for certain things, except when it comes to the preborn. We all know that science has proven what happens in the womb from conception to birth is nothing else but life, human life, from conception to birth, even conception resulting from rape or incest. As horrible as those crimes are, those things do not strip the innocent child conceived of his or her humanity and right to life. Incest and rape are horrible things, but are not as serious as murder is. Nor does the appearance of a sickness or a handicap strip an innocent child of his or her humanity and right to life. And as for saving a mother's life, this is the 21st century. Medical care today is so far advanced in our country that medical science has admitted that an abortion to save the mother's life is practically unnecessary. The possibility of her dying from a birth is practically non-existent anymore. So we still have a very long way to go. A long way to go through prayer, through fasting, through sacrifices, and proclaiming the message of the sanctity of life. And brothers and sisters, we have to be reminded that we could simply do not care only for the unborn. We must care for the born, for the children, young adults, adults, the aged, every person. As St. Paul again reminds us of the words of Jesus, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, born and unborn, from conception to natural death. The truth from divine and natural law that is sacred tells us that the innocent must be protected, the weak must be protected, and the vulnerable must be protected. God's declaration is, you shall not kill. You shall not murder the innocent, but you shall protect the vulnerable. You shall protect the weak and protect the innocent and build one another up. And shame, terrible shame on those who glory in the death of the vulnerable and the innocent for their own pleasure. In watching the news last night, they were interviewing some women in Lafayette who were protesting the Supreme Court's decision. And of course, they were all in favor of abortion. But to see one of them dressed as a Statue of Liberty using the F word numerous times, you know, F God, F the church, F this, F that. I mean, it was obvious that what she's doing is the demonic thing. They need to be prayed for. But we cannot stop. We cannot stop until every act of violence against innocent human life and human dignity is absolutely rooted out of our nation and our world. As we prayed in the opening prayer, God, through the grace of adoption, has chosen us to be children of light. That is, we are to proclaim truth, goodness, and mercy to the world through our holiness. And may we never give ourselves up to the darkness of error or sin, but always be seen to stand in the bright light of truth, the truth of human dignity, of man and woman, of every child, made in God's image and likeness, an image of life, an image of love. When we live according to that image, brothers and sisters, then truly can we call ourselves